We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is the morning show with John and Hugh. Big old thaw probably coming today, would imagine.
Put it on, Daryl.
Yep, that's Wes Durham, the voice of the Falcons. That's
put it on, Daryl.
Here. And by the way, Wes, we have a Vision Computer poll going on, and me now being a proud customer of Vision Computer because my new PC, my HP PC, came through Vision Computers.
We do.
Gotta love them endorsements, John.
It's on our 92.9 The Game account. It's the National App Day. So John Fricky this morning thought National App Day meant appetizer. So why not blend the two together? Yes.
Yeah. Well.
So Wes, why not blend the two together? So we're asking what your favorite app is on your phone, and then your favorite appetizer is. So it goes hand in hand. You can go to our Twitter page at
9. Mine was jalapeno poppers and World Series of Poker. I'm just saying.
Nice. This time of year, my favorite app's the Delta app.
Oh, yeah, because you're traveling all the time.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
And app. Wow, let's see. Trying to think of something I've seen Bo eat on a regular basis. Bo, what's your favorite app?
I'm a big fan of the mozzarella sticks.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, fried mozzarella sticks. Yeah, because there are like six of them, and he doesn't share. Just kidding. Just kidding. How you guys doing? Everybody dig out? Everybody good? No snow? Everybody's power on?
I live in the city, so I was good.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
I don't live out there. What they call them trees that John has in his backyard that we don't know anything about?
Lollies or
the Lelands.
Lelands.
Do you know what Lelands are, Wes? You probably do.
It's like a pine tree, right, John?
Yep.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to say pine tree, though?
Well, probably. How long did you go without power, John?
I didn't. I only lost. Did you use
bless
power?
Your heart.
Yeah.
29 hours.
Oh, yow.
Yeah, 29. God bless Georgia Power and the hardworking men and women involved in restoring power in this country.
Man, a mercy. Yeah, because that is a tough job, and I have tremendous respect. Did you gut it out at home? Is that what you did?
Yeah, we did, and we were almost we had power restored right before we were supposed to check into a local hotel because, as you guys might be able to tell, I got my best Lou Rawls voice going this morning, so I am not exactly at the top of my game. It's good we don't have a broadcast for a few days, and so I was not feeling very well, and so at the behest of the lovely Victoria, we were going to go to a hotel to get a warm night's sleep when our power came back on. So we were fortunate in that light for sure.
So wait a minute, you were going to gut it out?
We did gut it out the first night.
Oh, so, but the second you was like, no, we had to
night,
move.
No, yeah. No, look, man, I was feeling bad, and I was like, man, I can't sleep in a cold house another night. But we did pretty well. We
Big
did okay.
Word. Behest.
Yeah, it got down to 53 degrees in our house.
Ooh, that's a little chilly.
Yeah, that was cold.
Yeah.
So, but
that's nice.
A lot of other people had it a lot worse than we did. And, you know, especially a lot of those folks out in the Northwest Corridor. We got 10 inches here in beautiful Bartow County.
Wow.
10 legitimate inches. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Right around the corner because, you know, you and I don't live far from each other. I know. I couldn't believe
No.
it. I mean, it was because they were saying an inch and then it turned out to be, you know, and yet at the same time, what was so bizarre about it was, you know, I was posting pictures of what it was doing at my place, and I'm getting replies on Twitter of people, you know, posting pictures from like Covington. I said nothing, not a darn thing, not a flake.
Well, in a Thursday night driving home from the ball game, the roads had already had a little of the salt and sand put on them, as you guys know probably. And the further I got out of the city, I noticed that there was more of the brine on the roads than there had been like in the city. And I thought, well, this might be a little overkill, but, you know, we're still 3 years removed from all the craziness that happened and so forth. I said, so, you know, better safe than sorry. And, boy, the next day I'm glad they had it on there because that saved us, by the way. And I know I'm kissing up to the power companies and the DOT here, but think about it now. If you don't have that road prepped like they did Thursday night, Friday could have been a mess. And Saturday could have been worse because of how cold it got Saturday. So hat tip to those folks, too.
Wes Durham joining us this morning with John and you as we, you know, kind of recap the weekend. And, of course, everybody was taken aback by this. Well, we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the Saints game. You know, the Saints are doing an awful lot of crying. I mean, a lot. Sean Payton is crying about everything. And frankly, between the choke and the running on the field and the criticizing officials, oh, my God.
Can I say personally that the most precious part of this whole deal is the fact he doesn't remember it? When he said in the presser, I don't remember that. Really? You don't remember that? I think I'd remember it if I gave somebody a choke sign. Wouldn't you, Hugh?
And said choke twice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
This is the question, Wes. You know when they had the coaches' meetings and everything. If you're Coach Quinn, do you ask him, because you know this coach fraternity is supposed to be a tight-knit group. Mm-hmm. Do you ask him, what did he mean by that?
When you mean see, one of those like, hey, bro. Like that? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, not like that, because that's kind of hostile. We're going to give him a choice. We're going to ask him. And in whatever way he takes it, then it'll escalate
from there.
React from
there?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I have to ask, because you know it's hard to get to that game. And things happen. And for him to take that moment and do that, that's kind of – you know, coaches don't do that. That's something you see players
do. That's exactly right.
So do you, if you're Coach Quinn, do you say, yo, you know, hey, Sean.
No, hey, bro, let me talk to you a minute.
No.
That's what you say.
No, because when you start out with, hey, bro, it usually goes downhill from there. It's kind of like the same as say, hey, man, hey, can I holler at you for a minute?
Yeah, come here, man, let me talk to you for a second. I think it's going to come up, but I think it's also, I'm curious as to what we're waiting on from the league. I mean, if we're holding players to a certain level and an accountability on certain things, I mean, you mean to tell me that there's going to be some things happen on the Seattle-Jacksonville front? I can promise you that. So is this the day that the league starts disseminating all the things that occurred in week 14? And now we start breaking that apart? If that's the case, then, you know, I look forward to hearing what Sean Payton's fine is. Because I think there'll be a fine. Will it be reported is the question, or is it going to be one of these deals that's because it's a coach, it's under the table or whatever the case may be? But I definitely think there'll be some degree of a fine. And, you know, like I say, get in line, because the Seattle-Jacksonville thing is going to be immense. I mean, you're talking about possible ejections. There were punches thrown. Quentin Jefferson wanted to go into seats.
Well, but do you blame Quentin Jefferson? I mean, he's getting beer bottles hammering him in the head.
No, I don't blame him, but Hugh's the only one on this show that can answer this question, because I'm sure, you know, he's – now, granted, played in Philly, that's one thing, but went to other venues where it was just as bad, if not worse to a degree, especially in the rivalry games, Hugh, and you got to maintain some poise.
You do.
No matter how bad it is, you just got to keep walking. Jefferson lost his cool, right?
You do. And that's sometimes, Wes, and I'll be the first to tell you, that's the hardest thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
It's the hard, but you have to, because you stand to lose way more by going up in the stands. And if you grab the wrong person, because you don't know who did it, you're just reacting, and then you see faces – and you grab the wrong person, and now you have a real problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the league handles it. But I will say this, New Orleans, John, to your original question, there's a lot coming out of New Orleans postscript of the game. I mean, the player injuries, the unsportsmanlike call on Sean Payton late in the game, all the stuff that just, as far as I'm concerned, pours gas right on top of the Christmas Eve game down there.
All right, so the New Orleans Saints is certainly sitting at number four at the moment. Talking to Wes Durham, of course, he is the voice of the Falcons. Saints, Panthers, and now the Falcons back into the playoffs. They're 4-5-6, and the Falcons own the tiebreaker over the next team at 7, Seattle, the next team at 8, Detroit, the next team at 9, Green Bay, the next team at 10, Dallas. So, I mean, those wins suddenly come seriously into play here for the Atlanta Falcons.
Absolutely, and there are certain things you can do. Like last night I was looking at there's a website called MakeNFLPlayoffs.com, and it's kind of giving you a probability, for lack of a better term, of teams and getting in the playoffs and things like that. Atlanta's probability looks better after Jacksonville beat Seattle, but we got zero help early in the day. I mean, zero. So I think the final three games are still going to be critical. I think, you know, as Mike said in the postgame with DJ the other night, if Atlanta wins the remaining three games, I think they'll win the South and I'm not sure they're going to qualify for a top two seed. But then again, we're sitting here looking at Philadelphia with the possibility of no Carson Wentz for the remainder of the year in the playoffs too. So we don't know how the Eagles are going to react. But I think Atlanta's probability for getting in, they need to win all three to be sure. And I think if they go 2-1, you like their chances. But they still need to take care of their own business and quit worrying about anybody else at this point for sure.
You know what, Wes? Thinking about that New Orleans game in a couple weeks, not looking ahead, not looking past Tampa Bay in any kind of way.
Sure.
But if you're the league and all this snippiness and this chippiness in that first game, are you looking at that game coming up and making sure that you keep everybody – are you sending out letters saying, hey, you guys better keep it on the up and up in this one because it might get a little chippy?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that it will be very well attended to from an officiating standpoint. There won't be a lot of dragging going on, if you want to know what I mean. I think the officials will be quick with the whistles, very quick with the unsportsmanlike penalties, unnecessary roughness, you name all the 15-yarders you can think of. And I think it'll be a game that is officiated extremely tight because they know how volatile the last game was. And I think this game has a chance to be volatile. And it'll be a volatile environment. New Orleans is not a place where you go to think it's going to be a sublime event, you know. I mean, no matter what the record of these two teams is, the ball game still always has some juice with it, and I expect that Christmas Eve game to be no different. I mean, you guys are going to talk to Arch. Arch will tell you about walking through the seats to get to the radio booth. Bo and Arch can tell you about walking down. When you leave the booth to go do post game, you got to walk through the crowd to get to the floor of the Superdome now. I mean, from the top of the building down, you walk through those seats, and it's combustible. There's no question about that.
Wes Durham, voice of the Falcons, joining us this morning. John and you talking a little bit about the playoffs and the Falcons, who sit at 8-5 and are in the playoffs at the moment, heading a week from tonight to Tampa for a Monday night game. Of course, the news about Tampa this morning, Gerald McCoy, torn biceps, probably out for the season. That's going to be a huge blow to the Tampa Bay Bucs.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, you know, that'll be, you know, and of course, now not only do they lose Gerald McCoy for the year, Wes, but they got eliminated yesterday. And there's all this talk about, you know, the problems that are existing between Jameis Winston and Dirk Cutter.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of things about Tampa that just hadn't gone well. And the Buccaneers will be playing. You know, you're not real sure with the elimination factor, what happens then, how does all this figure into, you know, Cutter's future. You know, it just becomes a distraction for the final three ball games, and that's not good for anybody. And now it's a Monday night game, so, you know, all those things come into play. So you're either going to get them my way of thinking would be this. They're either going to play as well as they've played all year, or they're going to roll over. I mean, I don't think there'll be any room in between, do you, Hugh? I just don't. I think they'll play one way or the other, right?
I would agree with that. You're going to either be a spoiler or you're going to be the sacrificial lamb.
Right.
With all the stuff that's going on down there. So I'm thinking, I'm hoping, I'm shooting for sacrificial lamb, though, Wes. I'm here
yeah.
to tell you. I'm shooting
but for I also think, lamb. Too, Dirk and those guys got too much pride just to kind of roll the footballs out there.
Especially against Atlanta.
Well, yeah, and then that's the other factor, too, and that's a storyline that you know, got brought up a year ago. It's not been as big a development this year because of the way the seasons have gone and the success that Atlanta had, obviously, last year. But, yeah, there's no doubt that factors into it as well.
Wes Durham, just real quick here, because you know, we're all waiting today for official word on Carson Wentz, but let's presume for the sake of argument that he's out for the year with an ACL. And I hope he's not, but let's just presume. How is it? Kill Philadelphia? I mean, can they still win it without Carson Wentz?
Oh, I think Doug Peterson's done a good enough job building that team, and certainly he and the front office guys. I mean, Nick Foles did a decent job, but the reality of it is they enhanced their running game when they got the Ajayi trade done.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, I watched the ball game yesterday. I thought Chris Long was sensational yesterday. Against a pretty good offensive line, too, for the Rams. So, yeah, Philadelphia can still get the job done. The NFC is a really good side of the NFL this year. I mean, there are plenty of candidates. I mean, I thought Carolina played well yesterday, but I think Philadelphia can get it done. There's no doubt about it. But it's going to be a lot harder without Carson Wentz. That guy made a lot of plays. Now, he was, in my opinion, he was one of the two or three guys you could seriously consider for MVP at the end of the year, the way he was playing.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things they were talking about yesterday, Wes, was the fact that with Nick Foles in there, he doesn't have the ability to make the plays outside the pocket like Carson Wentz has. He doesn't have that mobility. So that's going to be a little bit of a hindrance for that offense when you start putting the game plan together.
Yeah, but they got, you know, Aguilar's played big. Alshon Jeffrey's played big. You know, they can run the ball with a couple different guys. Makes a big, big difference now when you get the versatility that they have offensively, and they're playing well on defense too.
Yeah, you're making me feel a lot better about that because yesterday I was, you know, I was crying in my beer a little bit.
Going to another Eagle party next week, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, but now I don't know.
Nothing like walking around, John, being a living legend of another team in the town, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, life is good if you can get it.
Old 53, we need some 53 throwback jerseys, Hugh. Let's get some 53 jerseys in here.
You know, I got a few in stores. So I got you.
Thank you.
Daryl, we'll wear those at Christmas time. Be a holiday tradition. We wear Hugh jerseys.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
Take care. Get better. Get that voice right.
Yeah, we got till Monday. Take care, guys. Thanks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.